Hello, I'm Devin Rue, a professional fantasy cartographer and illustrator, and you are listening to the Quip and Quill podcast.
My name is Em. I'm better known as Scald. I'm one half of AQH. With AQH, I do a fair bit of the writing as well as all of our formatting and layout. You can find me on Twitter at Scald of Shanann or with the Awfully Queer Heroes account. And I love making D&D game content. I'm also forever DM. And up until just recently, we just wrapped up a campaign. But I've been DMing and playing since I was about 14-ish.
I am Kel. Hello. I originally started AQH, then Emma joined me later. I am primarily on the AQH Twitter account, which is Awfully Q Heroes, because Twitter has a text limit and wouldn't let me write queer, which was very sad. It made me most upset. I, however, am the equivalent of a TTRPG newbie, where I have only been playing since COVID occurred, so about 4-ish years now. Absolutely love it. Played a few different systems, Star Trek, D&D, one that we're testing that cannot go into further, and a couple of others. But yeah, I absolutely love playing, and I think we're probably going to set up an in-person session soon, which I'm really looking forward to.
Hopefully. Yeah, yes, that's the plan at least.
Yes, and if it's not board games, then it's films and some other geekery. But you can always find me on the Awfully Q Heroes Twitter account, and happy to discuss any amount of TTRPGs. Mm-hmm. And
we've published, what is it, how many Kickstarters now?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah,
11.
So
we have the 12th later in the year at some point, but for Tartarus.
We make original D&D content adventures.
Pathfinder as well.
Now Pathfinder 2nd edition, now that that's out. Yes. And all of our stuff is for increasing LGBTQ representation in games. It's all also access friendly as well.
You're better at this than I am. Thank you. I'm just like, I like games and I like books and I make things.
We make cool queer shit. Come check it out.
We make cool, fun gay stuff. Come talk to us. Just say hi. Yeah. I like talking to people.
Then you're in the perfect place. Because right? here's where we get to talk about everything.
I love talking about things.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to start off with 11 fucking Kickstarters.
Yes. That took a lot.
I bet.
Yes.
I just had, I just finished recording another conversation about Kickstarters. I will eventually be doing my very first one because why not?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you specifically go through Kickstarter? Are you doing Hacker Kit? How are you going about your process?
I started on Kickstarter.
It's always been Kickstarter. There are reasons why we avoid Backer Kit, specifically because of how much they end up charging the creator.
Yeah,
it's much more cost effective to go through Kickstarter. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is and how much marketing is involved.
Because
a Kickstarter, it's like your project can have great writing. It can be amazing. But if you don't have really shiny, eye-grabbing artwork, and if you don't advertise enough, you will not fund. Doesn't matter how good the project is. And I think it's hard because it's not necessarily an accurate representation of like what it is that you're trying to produce. You have to make it look a certain way to appeal to people. And for us at the end of the day, after all the work that goes in, after the money that goes out on ads, Kickstarter obviously takes a fee. And even if we do a decent amount, the amount that we take home is usually for the work we've done on the project. It is extremely below minimum wage for the amount of work that goes into it. So it is not, for us, it's not profitable. The reason why we do it is because we love it and we love getting our material out there for people to have and people to use. But for the amount that we both put in work-wise, we're probably making like $1 an hour. Maybe?
It's not even that, honestly.
Not even that. Yeah.
Full transparency. Are you fine with me going full transparency? Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I should have checked that one first. Full transparency then. On the last Kickstarter, if I open that one up, let's. The last one We technically, as far as anyone looking at the project sees, we earned 6,107. What we took home was less than $500 each.
Oof. Yep.
I could get the exact numbers, but it was about $365, $67 around there, wasn't it?
And because, I mean, for us, obviously, a fair chunk of the funds go into advertising. Kickstarter takes a fee. Some of it goes into, again, formatting, advertising, and then you have to actually pay for printing and shipping physical products.
Yeah.
Which is not cheap.
No.
So,
but I was very lucky in the finding of the printer. One of my first projects before Emma came on board, I went to someone else to help me with the formatting. Mm-hmm. And they did the typical... I don't want to be offensive with this. They did the typical cishet man thing. I was like, oh, you have a project and you're a single seeming female on your own. I was like, well, non-binary, but sure, okay. And they just railroaded it. And at the time, I was like, you know what? I need experience in this, so I'm going to let you railroad one of them. Fine. And that was actually really helpful, because when you try and search printers for books online, the majority of the ones that come up for printing on demand or small batch printing, anything up to 200, 1 to 200, they'll charge you anything from 30 to 200 quid for a book. And this person, which was the best thing that came out of that very, very uneven and terrible experience, they put me onto Mixam. And hands down, they are the best printers for quality. This isn't an advert for them. I'm just, over the four, five almost years that I've been working and printing the books, I am so impressed with everything that we've had. Their quality has always been top notch. Anytime we've had a problem, they've fixed it without hesitation. Emma had one of our last Kickstarters. The books were left out after Emma had gone to bed. And it chucked it down all night. So I phoned him up, went, the books were left out in the rain. Like, what do we do about this? No, that's great. We'll send you a full replacement. No questions asked. You don't need to send us pictures. We did anyway, because, you know, accountability and stuff. And they just said, yep, we'll send you the entire shipment. We're really sorry about that. And we had it within like 3 days. And that was from England to America, which, interestingly, here's another little thing that's randomly very useful for anyone who's making Kickstarters. If you're printing in America, don't use Mixam.com. Either, and this is the wild thing, either use Mixam.co.uk or Mixam.au, because it is cheaper to print it in England or Australia and ship it to America than it is to print in America.
Not really surprised by that. Yeah. So are tarot cards, for that matter. Easier to print outside the US.
Yes.
Been doing a ridiculous amount of research on it for the deck that I'm slowly making. And just finding out, not to say that anything printed in the US, if you do a small run, it's worth it. To not pay for the shipping, customs, and everything else. But if you are doing a large run, it does not work very well.
No. No, local printing is, luckily, the thing, if you're printing books, there is a customs fee for bringing them in, which is something very helpful. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing tarot cards probably will.
As far as I know, yes. I've been talking with people that have already done Kickstarters and made their own tarot decks and everything else, and just... I have a nice long list. I am ready to go. I just need to get the art done. And that's always the fun part. So, and I'm taking this on pretty much by myself. I do have some ideas for an extended deck, which will hopefully feature the art of some other people. But for right now, I'm doing close to 100 cards.
Oh, that is a lot and very impressive. That is an undertaking.
Yes, it is. But the good thing is the majority of it's going to be maps. So nice. I'm good.
pretty much done and sorted there.
Oh, God, I still can't get over. It's really impressive to see 11 Kickstarters. Yes.
Well, we were doing three a year for a little while. That was exhausting.
Yeah, that was a little too much. We pulled back. We're now only doing two a year. Yeah. And even that is like...
The boxes that people won't be able to know about it on the podcast, but behind me I have a giant stack of, well, a medium stack of boxes of... There's about eight boxes down there that are books ready to be fulfilled from the most recent projects, but I moved to America Sunday just gone, so I've been sorting out getting all my stuff in situ, and I just kind of dumped them there for now. I was like, I can't deal with this while I'm moving and trying to figure out a bank account and a job, and I was like, they'll just have to wait.
Right. So you're doing fulfillment yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
Less. We looked
with how much we spend out on everything else.
Right.
We couldn't afford it.
Despite the extra effort of fulfilling ourselves, it's the only option unless we want to actually come back in the negative for months.
I mean, because we do so many, we have a fast turnaround. The writing's always done ahead of time. Sorry, duplication words there. Don't know. Anyway, we always as far ahead as we can be, because we need to commission art and various things like that in order to finish the products. But Emma will take the writing that's been done and completed and edited ahead of time, put that into the formatting as much as possible with spaces for where the images are going to go, and then we just have to wait on the images to be able to put in. So we looked at, it wasn't the last project, it was the one before, we looked at GameQuest for English and American fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have a fast turnaround because we've got another project coming up in 6 months' time. And they were going to take 3 months just to onboard us. I was like, I could finish it myself in that time. I could finish it myself in a month's time. Why is it taking so long? And they were just like, that's just what it is. I was like, the people who have backed us, we have a lot of solid repeat backers. They expect it to be quicker than that, which I respect. We've set a precedent. Our stuff goes out usually within 6 weeks of the project ending, maybe 2 months at a push. And people expect that. And it's like, I can't make them wait. Even if I always set the fulfillment date further out in case something goes wrong or in case there's a misprint. There's always something that happens. But every single one of them we've completed well ahead of time to be safe. But the reason that we don't like, not don't like, but don't want to use BackerKit, is they're a great service. I'm not knocking it. I do use it for their email marketing, which has been incredibly helpful for re-reaching previous backers and pulling them into the current project. But they have three different systems. So they have BackerKit Launch, they have BackerKit Creator, and something else. And if you go through them, you have to pay for each one that you want to use. And each one is a 3.5% charge. 3 to 5% charge, sorry. So depending on how many people you get, you might charge 5% or 3%. And because we're usually on the lower end of the scale, we'd get charged the full 5 for each one of the things that we want. When I worked out the math for the last project, we would have lost $100 instead of got $350-ish each.
Gotcha.
So it's good. It's an amazing system, but it's good when you do a ton. And we're fairly small still.
Why aren't you upping your prices if you all are making such a smaller amount?
Because people can't afford things.
That's exactly why. So what we do is we're in it because we love it. And one of the things that we've noticed is a lot of Kickstarters have begun charging 25, 30 something for digital copies only, which is such a price barrier to so many people.
Right.
People are, at least speaking as an American right now in America, things are not great money-wise.
I can confirm the same for England.
Things are not, people are struggling. And so when we talk about making our work accessible, that's also, we're talking about making that financially accessible, because you shouldn't be excluded from something because of your socioeconomic status. So whether that's, and that's not just community copies, because community copies are all well and good, but people can take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've kind of price locked ourselves on the lower end of basically the scale for all of this. And I personally believe, and not in a self-aggrandizing way, that yes, our work could sell for more than that and is technically worth more than that, but we want people to be able to get it and play it and to not be excluded from that experience just because they don't have the funds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we talk in the gaming community, a lot of folks who enjoy games, at least that we know of, they're not the richest folks out there, you know? And so we've chosen to keep our prices intentionally lower to make our work more accessible, because at the end of the day, I'll speak for myself, but I believe the same as Kel, I care less about the money that I make and more about the products that we make getting into people's hands. But as a result, it means that we work very, very hard for very little income in exchange, or at least in comparison to the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
Have you thought about making a stretch goal that you could get paid more?
We do that. We do. We do include that as a stretch goal.
Every single time I do it, though, I get people complaining and moaning at me that you should pay your people proper money. It's like, we do. The people who we hire, like, we hire proper editors. We pay them their proper rate. And if I can pay them more, if I think they're undercharging me, we pay them extra regardless of them saying, please don't. Not that anyone would, you know, necessarily turn away money, but they're like, no, it's fine. Very British and all that. We're like, yeah, we'll just give you an extra 50, 100, whatever I can afford.
We've argued people higher before.
We do. We've argued Penny higher and Owen. Owen's made maps for us for a couple of projects, and he wasn't charging us remotely enough. I was like, no, I'm not comfortable paying you this. And he's like, oh, I can go lower. I was like, no, you're going the wrong way. Please go higher. He's like, I can't charge you more. You're my friend. I'm like, charge me double, please.
Right.
Yeah. And he was like, no, it's fine. So I just ended up sending it to him. I was like, you are worth more than this. Stop belittling yourself, please.
Yeah. With Kickstarters, when we have made a stretch goal to give a bonus to the team, we have had people complain that we're not paying a fair wage, to which we usually explain, no. Every external artist that we work with, everyone we commission or that we hire that we work with, we pay them their rates or higher. We get the low rates.
Yeah.
We get the sub minimum wage, the two of us, because we can. So we take that.
People still complain.
And yeah. But we do often include in our projects at least one bonus stretch goal something. So we do have that as a stretch goal in our projects. Again, Kickstarter's hard. And even with proper advertising, it can be hard to get enough interest and emphasis behind your projects. We've also personally experienced a lot of difficulty because our stuff is very outwardly queer.
Yes.
Which means a lot of our advertisements become nesting grounds for a lot of hate commentary and hate speech. Whenever we do send out Facebook ads and stuff like that. And it means that there are people who will avoid our project, or places where it would be advertised, instead it gets kind of blind blacklisted because it's queer. So that's one of the issues that we've run into with our work, is that it makes it very hard for us to get our work out there.
Do you remember that guy who asked for a refund because he didn't realize it was gay?
Yeah, I do remember that guy. Yeah.
So we have awfully queer heroes all over the Kickstarter pages for all of them. We have rainbows. But past that, we're not like, oh my god, it's gay, because we like the work to speak for itself. But it's pretty obvious just looking at the initial part of the screen that this is queer as fuck. And someone backed it, and then they complained when they got the digital copy. They were like, no, this is unacceptable. You've put artwork in there that I fundamentally don't agree with. And I'm like, the fuck are you chatting about, mate? obviously, I said it far politer than that, but they were like, there's just artwork. I'm like, are you talking about the gay flag? He's like, yes, I fundamentally don't agree with this. You must refund me immediately. And then started hounding me. I did refuse to refund them. It's like, mate, you should have done better research, and I'm not refunding you because you don't like that it's queer. Deal with it.
That's definitely
what? You're a bigot. You paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have read better. But yeah, so we
do suffer for it.
We do. We definitely do.
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of that pretty much all over. One of my favorite things so far about this podcast is someone got mad because I asked for pronouns. And so when I posted about it, someone's like, Oh, you're the pronoun crowd. I was like, damn right I am.
Oh. I was like, sorry, this slot is no longer available. Goodbye, donk.
Yep.
Oh, jeez, yep. That is painful. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Oh, no, I'm very used to it. I've been out since I've been in my teenage years. I technically came out when I thought I had already come out, so I've come out twice at least to my family, which was really hilarious to me because I thought they all knew. Like, my friends were like, you know, me coming out to my friends was just me existing. So I just assumed my family was the same way.
Yeah.
And then the family that I was really close to was like, wait a minute, what? What do you mean?
Oh, jeez.
Right. And the fact that I took on the label queer specifically, one, because I think that for me, I dislike that everyone wants to put you, like, I need to know exactly what your sexuality is. I'm not fucking you. You don't need to know it. Trust me, we're fine. If you want to hit on me, don't, because I'm married. So my sexuality is still none of your fucking business. But I absolutely want to make sure that people understand that I am not straight. And, you know, another thing is because I love how much I'm such an instigator. I love how much people do not know how to react to the word queer.
Yeah.
They're like, what exactly does that mean? It means I'm queer.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to fucking explain it to you.
There's something very satisfying about making people think. And I've only recently taken to having longer hair. It's down past my shoulders now. But all throughout my youth, I've always worn usually men's cut clothes because my shoulders are too broad for women's clothes. I have a more muscular build. I used to have like a buzz cut short hair. I was mistaken as a guy all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And when people would realize that I wasn't, it's just the weirdest thing to watch somebody get that and then watch their reaction and how either distressed or upset or confused or angry people get. And I'm like, I'm just trying to go walk and get a drink of water. You know, it's
wild. The guy when we went out for that meal 2 days ago.
Oh gosh, I didn't even remember when that was.
We went to, I didn't know where the restroom was. We were leaving. Emma
walked because
we needed to both go to the same place. We went to the restroom. And without questioning, we both walk into the ladies. And I spy, because I'm very aware of where male presenting people are around me. I spy a guy over the corner of my shoulder, and he follows us in without question, without looking at the door, and then stands.
Because you've got short hair, you're wearing shorts, t-shirts, I'm wearing guys' clothes, and he kind of stands in there with us.
Looking a little bit, so he's looking at the cubicles like something isn't right here. And it takes until a woman walks out of one of the cubicles, and he just turns around and walks out.
Whoops.
Yeah. Old guy. At least he didn't kick off or anything. That was...
Yes. I mean, well, if it helps any, you also get it in the opposite direction. So I'm very female presenting. I've almost always had long hair or at least shoulder length. I wear dresses all the time. I almost always have makeup, blah, blah, blah. You get it in a different... In a way that is so bizarre to me, I guess. Like a perfect example is I was talking about, you know, being married on Twitter or something. As you know, oh, you know, being married is whatever. And someone's like, oh, your husband must be so, you know, unhappy with you. I was like, I don't have a husband. He's like, how could you be married? I'll let you steal that all you want. But, you know, right. But the amount of people that have said things to me with like, oh, you don't look like a lesbian.
Did you not wave your carabiner in their face enough?
Right. You know, I'm like, well, one, I guess technically I'm not, but I guess to you I am.
It doesn't matter if you're right? Some form of sapphic.
Right.
That could be bisexual, that could be lesbian. It doesn't matter to me and anyone who's listening. You're married, so it's irrelevant. But,
right,
you know?
Like, what?
Like, you're married to a woman.
Are we supposed to wear headbands that just say, I dig chicks?
Gay.
All the
What's I mean, right? I would wear that.
I mean, I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I for Pride this year, I'm putting all of my my Pride stuff back on because I year before I was gonna make a whole other site and then was like, I don't have time to like promote another site, so I'm putting it back on.
Yeah,
and it bringing out all of my very odd stuff. So I have like I have queer alignment shirts. I have one that says like chaotic queer.
Fun.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I wear all these things all the time because I love to make my own designs, and then everyone can I buy that, and I'm like, well, now you can. I'll put it on my website. Hold on.
yeah.
But yeah, I will. You know, it is bizarre to have people look at you one way and just like, you know, obviously you must be a man if you have short hair and wear men's clothes, yeah. Even though why are clothes gendered? That's just fucking weird to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, or if you're feminine presenting, oh, you can't be a lesbian. Oh, that's right, because you think makeup and dresses and everything else is just for the male gaze. I mean, technically, if you're in drag, then it's for the male gaze, but not...
Wait, yes.
Yeah.
I was telling Em, actually, recently, I've been scrolling on TikTok, and there was a Southern lad... It was like, I'm born and bred Southern boy, and Southerners, we don't wear makeup, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. And then he whips out all this makeup, and he's like, so I'm gonna learn myself!
Right.
And it starts from his very first attempt to put on makeup, and figure out how to do his eyes, and lipstick, and how to put a wig on right. And I've seen four or five of them now, and bless him, he is doing good at learning each time.
Nice.
He is doing so good. And from that, other Southern lads... who were TikTok creators have gone, yeah, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. I think putting makeups on is easy. That's fine. And they're like, it's not easy. I regret this.
What I love is I follow someone on TikTok. I can't remember his name. It's going to bother me. But he wears makeup as a guy, dates women. And the amount of comments that he gets with... people presuming that he's gay or bisexual, whatever he's like, my sexuality has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm going on a date with a woman though, he's gorgeous. Man is gorgeous. Yeah. You know? And I'm just like, see, I love that.
Yeah.
Because makeup has always been something that men wore.
Yeah.
And now they don't. Just like heels were invented for men. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so were dresses, so were skirts, so were wigs. All of this stuff wasn't invented just for women, most of it for men. And the fact that, you know, oh, real men don't. Fake men don't either. I don't understand what the hell that fucking means, but...
I don't know what a fake man is. Like a cardboard cutout, maybe. I mean, but then saying that, if you have a cardboard cutout of someone like Ewan McGregor, that's still a real man.
Right. I mean, I was just thinking like a blow-up doll.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want my brain to... That's terrifying.
That would be a fake man. Or those dummies used to have that would drive in the car next to you so you wouldn't be... So you can go into the HOV lane.
I think that must be an American thing.
HOV is the carpool lane where you need to have more people in the car, so you just put a dummy in the seat next to you so you don't get pulled over.
Thank you. I like it. Very okay.
I mean, it's also so it doesn't look like you're driving alone, you know. Because we all choose the bear.
Yes, we would choose the bear.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, so many people seem to forget that gender is a social construct.
It is.
Exactly.
Gender is not a biological fact. Gender is a social construct. We know that. This isn't just an extreme leftist belief. This is scientists and sociologists. They're like, no, gender is a social construct. Gender is not the same as sex. Gender is not the same as sexuality. Sex and sexuality are not the same thing.
Right.
And so it's just, yeah. I mean, you know, it's exhausting sometimes.
It is.
It's like, people, can everyone just calm down? Why is it so important what is in someone's pants?
Right.
Like you said, then, where it's like, if you want to hit on me, don't. What happens in the bedroom for me is my own business.
Right.
I tend to keep a d20 in my pants now, just so if someone asks me that, I can tell them to roll initiative.
I just don't wear pants.
There that you go. Also works.
That also works.
Yeah. That works. Yeah. I meant my trouser pocket. I should clarify which pants I was referring to.
Right. I wasn't going to say anything because most Americans don't know, but that's fine.
Yeah, no, I for the English side of things, I'm clarifying, just in case there is a distinction in America which I am not touching.
Yes.
That side can just be left as it is.
Yeah. Nobody needs to know if I wear pants or not.
I think that would probably that wouldn't be comfortable having any kind of dice in the nether region pant version. Like, especially if it's
it depends if you have the little pocket in them or not.
Oh, swimming pants, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
have them in regular undies. Yeah, for like wallets and stuff. This. Apparently, people want to hide things in undergarments. They have them in bras too, which I thought was really interesting.
That is cool.
Pockets.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I haven't worn a cell bra phones in like there. 10 years, so yeah, I decided bras were just not comfy, and I stopped wearing them like 10 years ago. It's problematic when you try and run. I do feel like I'm going to knock myself out, but
right.
Yeah.
No, I actually found something that's kind of like a very stretchy undershirt. That I wear because I am rather large chested and bras are incredibly painful, but also because I have an injury at the base of my neck and bras are just so I found something that keeps me from bouncing too much, you know.
Yeah,
the wonderful things everyone gets to learn on my podcast.
Yes, quite. Well, everyone will know this. Yes, quite. Emily, I've said this to, and bless her, I am so sorry that I do keep saying this to you, but like, we'll be doing some kind of exercise, and I don't know, jumping jacks, because I'm trying to get fitter, and I'll get so far, and then I'll like get a bit energetic, and I'll just have to stop, grab my boobs, and go, oh, tits!
Yeah, right?
They're about to knock me out or something, or they're hitting my chest too hard and giving me palpitations.
Yep. Yep, I've made jokes that I can take out small villages with mine.
Nice.
Flotation device, though. You'll never have a problem about drowning.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine, and assuming that they ever listen to my podcast, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. They have a picture of because I come from New York and off Long Island, and we used to go surfing and swimming and everything. And they have a gorgeous picture of the Atlantic Ocean right off of Montauk Point, and way in the distance, there's this little pink dot.
Okay. And
technically, those are my boobs. Because I had
none of the rest of you is visible, just your boobs.
Just my boobs. I was floating on my back, and the only thing that they could see was a very bright chest part of my bathing suit. And they thought this was the funniest thing that they've ever seen. They took a picture of it.
That is cracking.
It's pretty funny, not gonna lie.
Yeah. That is amazing.
I was like, I hate you and love you at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah, we've gone from queer representation to boobs.
I mean,
but what sapphic person doesn't love boobs?
Right. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm.
And they're great thinking devices as well.
Absolutely. Or they're also great at helping you stop arguments.
Yep. I use mine as like a thinker. When I'm really stressed thinking, I just have to grab a boob and just like give a little squeeze to like get my brain going.
Do you mean your own or someone else's? Because you just said a boob and I was like, oh god, if anyone.
Yeah, just a random passerby, you know. No, my own.
Hold on, I'm thinking.
Yeah, please don't move for a second. I just need to think from your tit. Thank you.
Right. Full disclosure, because I feel obligated to explain for the sake of anyone listening. As your wife, your boobs are not the only ones that you grab when you're thinking. Believe me.
See?
This is true. See? I, yep, okay. My, yeah, but not random strangers.
I are not random strangers now.
Yeah, I only grab yours, and you're my wife, so it's okay.
Walking through the room, you go get something, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, you're thinking.
He's like, hang on, I need to think about this, and it's okay. Just like, boob.
And you have to look at them, too, when you're doing it, if it's on another. Yes. If it's on you, you can look up the ceiling, which is what I do.
Yes.
But when I need to think, and I'm, like, looking at my wife, I really intently stare at them, and she's like, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. Sorry, hon.
That, or Emma has particularly impressive biceps, so sometimes if I'm wanting to think, I'm just like, please squeeze your arm so I can just, okay, good, thanks. The thoughts come back to me, and I'll just walk off.
Right. My wife is a former professional cyclist.
Ooh, and I love to say about,
you could bounce a quarter off her ass.
That is major respect. Her calves must be amazing.
Yeah. They are, and she has huge thighs. Like, she has to buy pants bigger just to get her legs in them.
Probably crush a watermelon with those.
Oh yeah, it's nothing.
Nice. Yes.
Like it's nothing. And it's hilarious because I love to, because she's also like me, and she'll wear dresses often and everything. And I love to find cute little dresses for her to fit in. But I always have to find them like a certain length, because one, she's kind of short. So I'm 5'9", she's like 5'5". So, okay. Yeah. So, you know, dresses are a little bit longer on her. But like, I can't buy her any pants. I can't buy her any shorts. Cause I like what I know will fit her waist. I don't know if it'll fit her legs or not. Yeah. And then it all depends on whether or not she's out riding every day. And hilarious. But
yeah. I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Right. I mean, you should see her in a pair of heels. Jesus. There's a reason I buy her nothing but dresses.
Fair. Respectable. Respectable.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that at all. Hats off to that one.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, like, because I said before that I'm very female presenting, there's so many people that are genuinely confused by, like, which one of you. I was like, if you say the guy, I'm going to kick you in whatever body part I can get the closest to and hit the hard. Because, like, that isn't how relationships work. Yeah.
When people ask that, like, oh, so who wears the pants question? To me, it's a similar vibe to the "what's in your pants" question.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Like,
why with the pants again?
Yeah.
Right.
I generally tell everyone that I'm a chopstick, and it's like, try and figure that out and walk away.
Right.
Because that's not a penis reference. That's like, you don't have a knife or a fork or a male or female body part involved in chopsticks. So it's like, you know, that's what we are.
Right. And I just say that so there is no men in this relationship, and that's kind of the point.
Yeah,
that's an excellent, excellent way to answer that one. Yeah.
I did used to say something similar, and then I'd started getting the replies of, well, would you like one? To which I occasionally turned violent.
If I did, I would have had one already.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Gotten a lot of this in my life.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I wanted a penis, I'd just go buy one from somewhere, you know. It's going to be
just go in the drawer.
yeah. Like, that's what I meant. Go buy one to suit my needs, not and have to pay for it once and not worry about feeding it or clothing it or pretending that, you know, I can raise it because, I won't insult men. I'm sorry. Came so close.
I've dated men.
My commiserations. And...
you know, there is a reason I am. And, I think the interesting thing to me is societally, to be in a relationship with a man and then be in a relationship with a woman. When being with men, realizing that they are never taught how to take care of themselves. I had an ex just stand there for like 20 minutes reading the lid of a washing machine because in his 30 something years he has never done his own laundry. He either had his ex do them, his mother do them, or he took them to a laundromat. And I was like, I am not doing your fucking laundry. You're an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what bothers me about it is that that means that all of these men, not by any fault of their own, are not mm-hmm. being raised to be self-sufficient.
No.
Well, and they're not. That's the thing. I remember I spoke with Kel about this. I went through a decent window as a student where I was renting rooms in houses. Because mm-hmm. this is, you know, out in California, living is expensive as heck. I was going to school, all that kind of stuff. And right all back. Of my housemates mm-hmm. were male identified guys. Right. And I remember being like, how, what? Because I was the only one who would clean anything. I was the only one who would take out the trash. I was the only one who would, like, take the moldy food out of the refrigerator.
Right.
And I just remember being like, why is this not, it's not that hard. Why is nobody, and it's like, they wouldn't even think of it as something they needed to do, just something exactly. that naturally happened. I was like, what are y'all going to do when you don't have a woman living with you?
Right. Like, what? And the sad
and again,
thing is, like,
no fault of their own. They've just been
right.
raised where it's not been, not been taught.
Exactly. And the way that it's being addressed, even currently with so many people, you know, there's so many people that are like, oh my God, you know, men are so lazy or men are, and I'm like, that isn't the case. There's so many people that are never raised to know any better.
Yeah.
Once you, I mean, especially now with everyone staying home much longer, because who can afford to fucking move out?
Exactly.
You know, and the other thing is, like, a lot of times, especially with moms and stuff, it's like, nah, it's much easier if I just do everything at once. It's not even like, oh, I should be teaching my son how to do this. But we absolutely teach girls to do this.
Yeah.
It's, again, it's that whole idea of gender as a sexual...
Right.
Sorry, gender as a social construct. Because it's like, oh, if you're a guy, here's what you have to learn. We're going to teach you how to fix a leak in the sink. We're going to teach you how to change your own oil in your car.
If only that was actually being taught, though.
Yeah, and like, if you're a girl, we're going to teach you how to do laundry. We're going to teach you how to cook. These are the things you need to know. And just the whole idea that so much of what we do and how we interact with each other is based on these social status quo of what's expected based on very outdated gender models is honestly a little ridiculous. And for a lot of people, there's aspects of it that, again, like you said, are no fault of their own. It's just growing up in our particular Western culture. Mm. It's kind of fucked in terms of gender stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I love about the internet and the way that we are growing a global society and a global language is there are so many people that are realizing, like, one, to teach their children to be far more self-sufficient and self-reliant, and how to actually be an adult, as opposed to, like, you're gonna like my father actually at one point said, you know, not to bother even applying to college because you're just gonna end up someone's wife and mother.
Oh gosh.
Right.
I hope you thoroughly disappointed that man. In the best way
absolutely.
Possible. I was like, my goodness.
Yeah. I've been a disappointment to him for my entire life. It's been great.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good.
But I mean, the other thing is, like, that is exactly what, you know, generations before us are like.
Yes.
What alternatives were there for women?
Point blank refused to let me go to the English equivalent of college for you guys. So university.
Yeah.
I was going to go to uni to do IT. But the school male school teacher said, oh, don't bother sending her. By the time they finish, everything will be outdated and it will be a completely useless degree. And while that is true to a certain extent, because things did progress so incredibly fast and continue to do so, no university degree is useless. It's you know, and there was in England at the time, it was different to how it is now. I couldn't get a loan at my age for going to university without their approval. They had to like guarantor it and they just refused. And then I started working. It was so hard. And now I'm here. I'm actually reconsidering being able to do that potentially, because I've got a decent paying job coming up, and various things. So I'm looking at maybe doing that now at 42. Right. Because when I was 16, which was when I was leaving school, what was the age at that point, it just wasn't an option for me. Because my parents went, oh no, that's you shouldn't be doing that. IT is a manly thing, and they say, the men say that it'll be outdated anyway.
I was gonna say, Devin, I feel like you just captured so much in that sigh.
Yeah.
Have
you heard the song Labor? Because that is generational women's rage, if you've heard that.
I don't think I have.
It's the chorus is all day, every day, therapist, mother, maid, nymph than a virgin, nurse than a servant, just an appendage, live to attend him so that he never lifts a finger. You make me do too much labor.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that is pretty spot on.
Yeah. And everyone who's found this song, there were so many people stitching it and things like that on TikTok that the person rewrote it with thousands of women singing along with her, because there was that many that had gotten involved, and it basically just ignited this thing online. Mm-hmm. And even people who were saying, people were saying, I have an amazing husband, this guy is great, but my generational rage, I am bellowing this song. And it's true, but there's so many. Even the line, like, so that Eleven never lifts a finger, is that saying he doesn't do anything, or that he never hits someone? You know, this. Yeah. And that sigh, I think, encapsulated that.
I mean, again, we pick the bear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at such a cute little bear on Discord right now.
Right. I'd pick that bear.
I'd pick that bear. There was actually a Russian lady that I saw this morning hugging a bear. I was like, well, there's that. That's why. Yeah, pick the bear every time.
Right. Oh, yeah. That is going to be its own episode at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Why to pick the bear? Why not?
Right. Well, I mean, it's not as predominant now as it used to be, but if anyone does want to work in the tabletop space, and are female presenting, you absolutely are going to be met with sexism.
Oh, yeah.
Even just to play in this industry, even just to be a player in the tabletop space, is the amount of stuff that comes out. But working in it is getting better, because I've been doing this for 10-ish, over 10-ish years, however long it's been. It feels like forever.
I think Critical Role is about 10 years, and you were probably with them from roughly the start, right?
Well, I wasn't. No, I started working with Critical Role in 2018.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I started drawing maps in about 2012, 2013.
Yeah. So that's, 14 odd years?
14. Yeah. Jesus.
Wow. Dang.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Good
that's
for
impressive.
You. Yeah.
So, and when I first came on the scene, of course, everyone assumed I was a guy, despite having female pronouns, and at that point, having my picture online. And the words mistress of maps over everything. Now it's turned to matriarch, because I have been doing this so long. And it was hilarious to have, and I still get it every once in a while now, but the great thing is that the internet just bitch slaps the fuck out of people who make dumbass comments on my posts and everything. So it's just wonderful. Yes. And half the time I don't get to see them, because if you don't follow me on social media, I don't see your comments.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's helpful, because you must get spammed.
I used to get a lot, and surprisingly, not as much, or it just gets deleted before I even see it.
Good. That's so good.
Yeah. There's at one point there was an entire Reddit thread dedicated to how shitty my artwork is, what an asshole I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet you were an asshole because you didn't smile at a guy, right?
Well, the funny thing is, like, I am not good at all at, how do we phrase that?
Just shoot from the hip. Don't worry about it. Be diplomatic.
Well, I'm trying to think of, like, how to... I'm not very good at... If you're a bigot, an asshole, a sexist, or whatever, I have absolutely no desire whatsoever to not bruise your ego or to be nice to you or put it politely just in case you may not be meaning it in a dickish way. I don't fucking care. And sometimes this is not good because there are people that genuinely don't mean it that way, but it comes across pretty bad. But unfortunately, the majority of people have. And it's been very interesting to watch how much the industry has changed and how much the online community has changed. I really wish the in-person community would catch up.
Yeah.
Anyone who's had to play at Comic-Cons at a random table has, especially the smaller ones, but yeah.
Well, and it's tricky because I know one of the plus sides of being part of the TTRPG community, at least for us in the Twitter space, is that there's a lot of really wonderful, open-minded, welcoming people there. And you can meet with and interact with some really great people. And at least for me, sometimes I do that to such a degree that I forget almost how messed up some other aspects of that are. And how many people are still in the "this is a boys club" thing, and "keep your pronouns out of my game," and you know, if you use the word "ancestries" instead of "races," you can't play at my table. And just like, if you use safety tools, get out of my game. And just, I respect that people can choose to run their games the way they want to run them, but throwing a fit because people want to include something like safety tools at a table, it just is a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Not too long ago, I made a post saying like, hey, I have a queer gender bending character that I was thinking of writing about, you know, would anyone interesting thing. And I was just being very tongue-in-cheek. Of course I know that they want to read it. The Venn diagram is a circle.
Wait. Hold on. I'm actually thinking about this. Was this about pirates?
Yes.
I remember that post. I saw your post.
I missed this one.
Oh my God. No, I remember this because it was something about queer pirates. And I remember I saw it at like 8:00 in the morning. Because I follow you on Twitter and so I come on my feed, and I just remember thinking, lesbian pirates, let's go. You need to write this.
Right?
Yep, that works.
Yeah.
The amount of people, if you read through the comments, there's so many people that are like, oh, why do you have to mention that she's queer? What difference does that fucking make? What's the story actually about?
Oh,
like, why does any of this matter? This isn't enough to actually read something. I was like, first off, it's a joke. Secondly, I now know you're an asshole. right? So, you know, but
dicks.
Yeah, and it's every once in a while I get reminded that it's still there, you know, in this community. And I'm like, oh, that's right. You know,
always like, we went to UKGE, UK Gaming's Expo. And We like to, as with everything, make it as gay as possible. So we got a 10-foot photography backing stand thing, and we attached a giant ass rainbow to it so that everyone could see it. Pride flag. Was it the more recent all inclusive pride flag?
I think it was.
Anyway, side note. And all of the surrounds were only up to 8 foot, so we cranked ours up to 10 foot, and all of the gay people were like, "We're gonna go meet at the pride flag." Which was great that, you know, it worked, because it wasn't just we wanted to be seen, you know, there was also, you know, here's a point where people can easily see from anywhere in the place so that you can find your friends if you want. It's 2 foot above everything else. You can't miss it. But we also had people coming over and being fucking assholes. Like, oh, you haven't included the most recent pride flag. I'm like, bitch, yes it is. I'm like, yeah, I'm not gay. I was joking. And then trying to be derogatory, I'm like, well, you failed. Fuck off. I'm like, ugh, queer. I'm like, yes, that's the name of the company. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah.
And they're trying to be insulting. And I'm very, very sarcastic, so I was just throwing it back in their face. But we did get a fair few of those.
I think a lot of it is when people are saying, you know, why do you have to be so loud about it? Why do you have to advertise that something's going to be queer? Why can't you just let it speak for itself? I think a big part of that people don't realize is it's the same basic reason that any minority is going to advertise about it being a minority. People are... I am tired of being stepped on. I am tired of being excluded. I am tired of having to make and tweak and adjust the stuff that's out there because none of it is built for me the way it's built for other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's like, well, why do you have to have a Pride Day? And it's like, people have died because of who they were and who they loved. And you know, the reason why, at least for me in my mind, I like to at least have some comment advertising, hey, this thing is going to be queer, is so that people know this is something where you might feel represented. This is something that goes against the norm of what is out there. This is something that is different in this way. And that's an important difference because it's something that should be celebrated and have a little bit more awareness brought to it. And not so much awareness as this is a thing, but awareness as this is a normal thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had somebody like, you know, what does being queer have to do with maps? Nothing. It has to do with me, in case you're like, I don't know if my maps are queer. They might be. I haven't asked any of them. I mean, I'm going to assume yes, because a queer person made them.
Yep.
But the fact that there's so many people that care more that there's the word queer in my bio on everything is why it's going to remain the first fucking word of my bio from now till forever.
Now, I just want to see you make like the queerest map of, you know, in Moana, when the lady at the end, she lays down and it's clearly the outline of a woman. I would love to see that in like a regular TTRPG map and just everything I have is gay. One. Like, you know,
I have an island like that.
Nice.
Yeah. That is amazing.
I made it for Steamforged.
Nice.
Yeah.
They do good stuff.
They do. Steamforged
are really good.
And they had me come in and make some maps for them for last year, year before. Oh, God. Time's weird soup.
Weird soup.
Yeah, some time ago.
Yeah, it was before maps. Today.
Right, sometime before today, I made maps for them. But yeah, one of them is a lady laying down. I've made jokes that I'm going to draw other maps because clearly people need a map drawn for them in particular areas. But
that map technically exists in the Wheel of Time. There's an island called Tarvalon, which is entirely, what the hell is that kind of word?
Entirely.
Am I pronounced? Thank you. In that, an island of women. And they have a tower at the top of the island, precisely where certain things would usually be. The layout of the city is perfectly done like anatomy.
A vagina. We can say those words on
Okay,
here.
Fine. I'm so used to censoring. Yes, it looks like a vagina. And it has the tower right where the clit should be. And this, in fairness, was a book written by a guy. But he was making an inside joke because there's a group of men who want to destroy these witches, but they can never find the island.
I mean, accurate.
Yeah, but you know, making a gayer version would also be good.
Yes, and I'm sure I'm going to get someone being like picking on men. I'm not.
I am.
I'm not.
I shouldn't. I shouldn't. But it's so easy.
I know. No,
I should be politically correct, and you know what? I can't even say that sentence. No, I'm not going to go back.
No, there's nothing politically correct about that. No, you're good. I never wanted it to be, even from the very beginning. Which this was going to be a whole other thing, which I was actually expecting when I very first started. I was like, oh, it's going to be about world building because it's one of my favorite things to do. And I wanted to bring on other writers and creators and stuff. And then it immediately took a whole other life of its own.
Nice.
And
as projects often do.
Right. And I love it because now it's just a great conversation, you know, about with people in the industry, and I get to actually know them or they know me. And the great thing is, like, this is absolutely a podcast for non-bigots, non-assholes. You know, if you have a problem with us talking about sexuality, gender, or anything else, this is not the fucking podcast for you. No. Because everybody who wants to tell me, well, what does it have to do with tabletop RPGs? It has everything to do with it.
It does.
Everything to do with it.
Yeah.
It does. And I mean, I'm sure obviously from what you've shared, you run into this too, but being female identified, but especially for us being queer, has made it very difficult in the industry. Mm-hmm. We've been able to get our stuff out there and we've been able to meet some cool people and stuff, but it has been
hard.
A struggle, and it continues to be a struggle. And there's a lot of hate speech that you will find out there from just randos commenting on your stuff. It's like, dude, if you don't like it, don't interact with it. That's how the algorithm works.
Right. And the biggest thing is how many people just take offense or the fact that it is queer related.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever I do Facebook adverts, which I try and leave till closer to when the project's going live, I always get tons of hate. And thankfully, it's actually gotten to the point now where it's very similar to what happens on your Twitter. Other people jump on them and slam them for me, so by the time I log in at whatever point, they've already been thoroughly shamed. But I've had people quoting Bibles, mm-hmm. passages, telling me that I'm going to burn in hell. I'm like, great, I would love a condo over the lava watching all the lesbians doing strip dancing or whatever the fuck with alcohol and drugs, because it doesn't matter whether I would... it doesn't matter that I don't drink or do drugs. It makes them angry when they're like, you're going to burn in hell. I'm like, yes, please. Because that's where all my friends, if according to you, that's where all my friends are going. And I don't want to sit on some stuffy white cloud playing a harp. I want to be where the party's at. And right. If drugs are bad, sex is bad, lesbians are bad, alcohol's bad, and all that is going to hell, sign me the fuck up.
Right. And you know, my favorite response to that has always been like, but we don't get to have sex in heaven. So what does that have to do with whether we're fucking on earth?
Exactly.
Right? So, I mean, why...
They not get to have sex in heaven.
Why
really?
Would they? Because sex is a sin.
Oh, yeah. It's right up on my Bible. Yeah, they'd have to, like, find a married couple up there, I suppose.
Right.
You did, however, point out, insofar as the Bible is concerned, which I haven't checked myself, but I think is accurate, that the Bible actually says in the situation of the man and the bear, you're supposed to choose the bear.
It's true. The Bible says this.
Yes. So.
Yeah, we're just following that good book.
Oh, yeah. Great churchgoers that we are. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. That's the other reason why I have a... also going back up on my website is I have a bunch of it says CEO, but it's Coven Executive Officer.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I have
we took down our online store because it was more expensive than what we could afford because we weren't making anything off it. But we had things like a picture of a uterus, then a corpse has more rights, which it does. Technically in most states.
Yep.
We had some good ones like that. What was the lesbian one? Oh, so I'm a protective lesbian. I liked that one. I still wear that one. That was a lot of fun. And I wore it to a Viking event And I completely forgot what I was wearing. I didn't think anything of it. And I'm just walking around wearing some kind of protective lesbian. And occasionally women would turn around and go, oh my God, thank goodness you're here. I'm like, wait, what? What do you need? And she's like, no, you're top. I'm like, oh yes, great. How can I be of service?
How can I help you?
It's caused some really fun situations. So much fun. But we shut that down because it just wasn't viable. But while we still have access to them and get them for myself, because right. I really like wearing them to cons. Because when you're walking around, if a woman is like feeling uncomfortable, she will approach someone that's wearing a top like that.
Yeah.
And I have had some people do that before and be like, this is random. Can you maybe point me to here or point me to there? But I had someone else like, can you walk with me to this place, because I don't feel great right now, and I think, you know, there's too many people, I don't feel comfortable. I'm like, yep, let's go. And it's nice.
Yeah. I will have to get one for my wife, because, so I am visually impaired, and I always make the joke that, why do you think that blind people wear sunglasses? Mm. Clearly, it's not for us. Right.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
A lot of it is because normal-sighted people are really uncomfortable with someone who doesn't make eye contact.
Mm.
So if you're beyond like a certain, you know, couple of feet away from me, I kind of can tell where your eyes are. But for the most part, I'm just hoping I'm making some sort of eye contact. Sometimes I make apparently very aggressive eye contact because I'm just staring into where I think your eye holes are.
Yeah, the voids, you know, of someone's face.
Right, you know, if you're a certain amount of feet away, I can't see you waving at me, smiling at me, or whatever. Yeah. I can't see you. I've had people that have been offended by this, think that I'm slighting them, think that I'm ignoring them. This happens a lot in the blind community. We're very used to it. A lot of it comes because somebody else can see us. They think that they're well within vision, and they don't think about from our perspective, because we are looking in their direction. They think that, you know, especially if we inadvertently make what they perceive as eye contact. So, you know, they smile or wave or whatever, and I don't respond because I technically can't see them. And then they think they're being slighted.
But see, this is the thing. And I feel like this is for everything from issues of accessibility, but also race, class, gender, all that kind of stuff, whatever your neurological makeup looks like. For folks who do that, and if you make a mistake, and if somebody explains, oh, I didn't see you, or actually, I have ADHD, so my brain doesn't work that way, or something like that, the whole idea that anyone who does not fit this normal, very cookie-cutter image of what a person is supposed to be has to change to fit that is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's like, just be open to changing and learning. Be open to making mistakes. Be open to waving and thinking someone's, you know, angry at you, and then finding out later and being like, oh, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake, it was a misunderstanding, whatever. Be open to communicating. Be open to making mistakes. Mistakes are okay. And this goes for both sides of that argument, where for me, with a lot of queer folks, it's like, if someone is generally well-intentioned and they accidentally misgender me and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, and it's a mistake, I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's so okay. That's so okay. So just be open to making mistakes. Be open to talking. When we assume things, that's when stuff gets fucky. Be open to asking if you don't know. Be open to asking if something is okay. And just don't do it in a dick way, you know, where it's like, be willing to talk about these things, be willing to try something different, something alternative, and just try and understand people for where they express to you that they are or that they're at, rather than where you think they are or they should be.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. I also would like to add that instead of necessarily going up to someone else and asking a ton of questions that we get asked over and over again, do a little research.
Yeah, that too.
Google absolutely is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I am sorry that you've had to deal with that, though, because that's shit by anyone's standards.
And oh, yeah, but it is... I don't want to ever like be like, oh, because it's, you know, it's just everyday life that it's excusable. It's not. But this is how society sees pun intended, people like me.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, I've had someone say, like, so when me and my group play, because we are all, as I said before, some visually impaired to being fully blind, we don't use sight rules. But it is also because none of us ever think to use them, even if we did include them.
Yeah.
Because that's not how we navigate the world. So
yeah.
It never even occurs to us to ask. It does go both ways. We do understand, but also at the same time, everything that we do is for, we're raised from very young ages. If we have a visual impairment, we do everything to help ease the everyone else's nervousness, anxiety, unease around us. You know, I have a cane and I use it. So essentially I lack depth perception.
Okay.
I have vision in one eye. I do not in the other. Vision I have in my one eye is not that awesome, and it's very limited. Pretty much anything beyond arm's length starts to get fuzzy really quickly. And this is with glasses. With my cane, the amount of people that want to ask me a bazillion questions, because
the fuck?
Well, no, it's, which is fine. Most people don't meet blind people. We are a very small population, and they want to ask questions like, how does it work? You know, what do you use it for? You know, because unfortunately Hollywood has made it so like we're all daredevil, and somehow our hearing is
oh gosh,
supernatural, which is just not what happens at all. When it rains, I can't magically see shit. That's not how that works.
I was going to say, you should do the joke from, it was one of the episodes. Have you seen Avatar The Last Airbender?
I'm watching it now.
Okay, they do a joke on that where they parody one of the characters. He's like, oh, I see by emitting a supersonic wave from my mouth, and then just screams really loud.
I should. I've got some lungs on me. But I mean, some people come from, you know, a place of just like, I've never met anyone like you. There's so many people out there that have this, want that aha moment. I got you. There's numerous pictures or videos of people that have a blind cane or a sight cane using a phone. And everyone's like, oh my God, see, this is proof they're not really blind. Okay, first off, fully blind people only make up 2% of the blind community, of our community.
Yeah, isn't there the stages, like a spectrum of how degraded the vision is?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, like, the majority of us, the majority of the blind community has some sort of vision, whether it's just being able to see light. Some people can just see, you know, blurry visions. And it is not in any way, shape, or form a compliment or solidarity tell me that when you take your glasses off, you two are blind, because it is not the same. Telling me you're legally blind without your glasses tells me you're not actually legally blind, because by the definition of being legally blind, if glasses or surgery can correct your vision better than, I think it's 20 over 400, I think is the limit, whatever it is, then yeah, you are not legally blind. But thank you. I appreciate your effort to want to be, you know, like, best buds with me, but nope, that only just tells me you're ignorant as fuck. Please just go Google.
Yeah, that's honestly, all of that sounds really dickish.
Again, people are trying to find something in common with me, trying to find like that same common ground in an effort to have a conversation. And because let me tell you, if you want to hear people being dickish to blind people, I have so many that it makes all of this completely in perspective.
Wow.
So the majority of people that come up, I'm like, oh wow, you know, I too am blind without glasses. You know, they are trying to find something in common with me and my disability. And I understand. However, I have had people steal my cane. I've had people walk up and wave their hand inches in front of my face to prove if I'm blind or not. This happens a lot. I have had people grab me and literally almost throw me into a building to push me away from traffic because somehow me walking a straight line down a sidewalk is not, you know, I'm somehow just going to magically turn and run traffic. Right.
The fuck.
I've had so many people like, oh, how could you possibly be blind? You create art. You know, so that is being dickish. That is being mean. And there's so many people who desperately, desperately want to be allies with zero to no effort. I swear, please, if you genuinely want to include us, there are so many people out there who work with our community that do sensitivity reading, that do all the effort, have tons of links. Hopefully they'll, I have two people that are going to hopefully be on here. There is so much information out there now.
Yeah.
You do not need to go up to a disabled person and talk to them about it. You also don't need to correct me on how I'm going to refer to me or myself and my community.
Oh my gosh.
Or the fact that I say disabled.
Don't you just love it when people like correct you on your own stuff?
And it's absolutely. Like, and it happens a lot.
What the fuck?
That's so painful.
What the shit?
I had somebody tell me that I couldn't possibly be blind because I didn't have alt text written on my post.
Oh, fuck off.
Right. And I was like, first off, not every blind person needs alt text. Right? But also, I am using a different app that tells me I'm putting in alt text.
Yeah.
And I never thought to check it because why would I check my own fucking posts?
Yeah.
When I know I'm writing it in there, it just wasn't being transferred over. And this kept happening, and it's one of the reasons why I stopped using that app. But it is one of the reasons why I describe, oftentimes, I describe what is going on in whatever picture I'm sharing. I don't need a novel. I don't need I didn't need you to wax poetic verse about this gorgeous sunset picture and how it makes you feel in the alt fucking text. I need you to tell me it's a picture of a beautiful sunset. That's it. You know, I'm sure that there's other people that will argue with me. That's fine. You can choose whatever version you want of that. But I personally don't. I just want to know what's in the picture. Also, because it doesn't really matter. Let's just get to the post.
Yeah.
But if it's described in the post, it doesn't need to have alt text. Why? Because you just described it in the post.
There's a description one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I'm visually impaired. I don't have a learning disability because of it. And the fact that everybody links these two together
is infuriating, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have deaf players, hard of hearing to deaf players, both big and little D's. that sounded wrong, but I know what I meant. And I will have, we'll be at a table, like we'll go to a restaurant or whatever. And if somebody notices that one of them is signing to me, instead of talking to them, they will talk to me and ask me what they want. Oh, we have people like, how do you guys play tabletop RPGs together? Are you serious? Do you not know how communication works if you can't see or hear somebody?
See, I think what you could do is just come up with more and more ridiculous ways to answer these dumbass questions.
Oh, yes,
like,
I have.
People are like, you know, oh, how do you pay attention? You should be like, well, first thing we do is we all take off our underwear and we put it on our heads, right?
And then we have cans. We have cans. This is what we do. We have cans and we tie a string to the end of a microphone or to the end of our headsets. Right. And then we put a little metal can is at the other end of that string and it sits on our desk. So for us blind people, that'll amplify it. But for my deaf friends, they just put their hands around the can and the vibrations tell them whatever we're saying.
I love this. Oh, my gosh.
Right. There are people who have believed me.
Oh, that's painful.
And I've never corrected them because I'm like, sure.
There are an amazing amount of things that people will believe. It wasn't me. I had to correct someone that I formerly worked with many, many years ago. I was probably about 20, so, I don't know, 20, 23 years ago-ish. I was working as assistant manager in, I think you call them model stores here, similar to that, where you could get like standees of an alien or a model train or a car or things like those. And they'd employed a lovely, adorable kid who was like 16 years old. It was her first job. She just wanted a little bit extra money while going to, I don't know what you'd call it here. Darling, 16 to 18.
Like high school?
Okay, thank you. Which was college for us, but high school here. And she just wanted a little bit of extra pocket money, essentially. So she only worked 3-4 times a week. And she knew nothing, bless her, about queer people, I should add there. And one of my colleagues, I did not find this out for a solid 6 months, convinced her very, very easily that telling her that being gay was catchable from a toilet seat.
It isn't.
Well, you know, who knows? Who knows? Right. So every time I went to the toilet, she would bleach down and completely scrub the entire toilet before she went in. So we had the most immaculate, restroom that you could possibly think of. And it was wonderful. It was great. Until I found out and I was like, okay, well, do I play on this or do I tell her the truth? And we both needed the toilet at the same time, so I just bolted because as assistant manager, I could. I didn't have to be stood at any one point. She had to be behind the tills. So I was like, taking advantage, I'm just going to run to the toilet. And when I come out, she was crying. I was like, what the shit is going on right? Why? She's like, I really, really need to the toilet, but we're out of bleach and I don't want to be gay. And at this point, I felt so bad and I had to tell her the truth. Yeah, but she believed that for well over 6 months.
There's people that believe if you take a baby's temperature with a rectal thermometer, it'll make them gay.
Did you know every single rectal thermometer has already been used?
Yes, not necessarily in someone's rectum, but yes. It needs to be tested before it can be sold.
Within the human body.
Yes.
I find that so disturbingly hilarious.
They do clean it afterwards, one would hope, but you know.
One would hope, ideally.
Yeah, you would think, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, think of all those poor gay people now. You work in a thermometer factory, they're all gay.
Yeah, it's better than being a fudge packing factory, though.
Is it? I don't know, it depends. I mean, once you're gay, isn't that the next logical step?
Well, so I've heard. I hop, skip, and jumped over that personally, but yes. See, being in England, I could go to the town of Muff and learn scuba diving there. So,
yes. Go muff diving, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
muff diving.
Oh, yeah.
So I managed to avoid the fudge packing factory and went to the town of Muff instead. There is honestly a town in Ireland called Muff where they deliberately did this for the giggles and that factor. And it's just perfect. Yeah, you can buy t-shirts that say, I learned to dive in Muff.